Here we are, July 28th, 2013, in Studio 129 Main Street. And if you want to call me, please do so. Anybody recognize BR549 out there? That was Junior Sample selling used cars, if anybody's that old. Hee-haw. We are looking at worship this morning. You'll hear people all the time say, come worship with us. We have a special worship team. We have a worship leader at our church. And I remember the first time it was in an evangelical free church, and coming from a Lutheran background where you have to sit in your pews and the choir sings behind you, and if you turn around to look at the choir singing, your mom or dad will thunk you on the back of the head or on the leg or something. And singing in those days was like death warmed over. It was just like the liturgy, that kind of stuff. The liturgy was just awful. So we go to this service, and this guy walks up and starts directing the congregation. I remember thinking, this is dumb. Church people just sing. We don't need to be directed by anybody. But I see where that's grown into. Boy, you know, some of us have been around. We're pretty old. We've been around when people really believed that the King James Bible is the only Word of God, and we showed them the differences, they just saw it right away. We were around before the big emphasis on worship. Wow, we've been around, haven't we? So, we're going to look at some things in the Scriptures. King James Bible, of course, 1611, rightly divided. But we are going to look at Old Testament. We're going to look at the Gospels, New Testament. And then we're going to look at the actual New Testament after Jesus Christ had died and rose again. And then if we won't have time this morning, I suppose, some of us will go into this evening. We will look at where this worship today is headed toward, because this is what they will be doing during the tribulation. So we already see it starting to take place. They're setting up the chairs, you know, for the great worship on the earth, when everybody's worshiping this Antichrist, just like Nebuchadnezzar got the worship. And we know, without a shadow of a doubt, for me anyway, that music plays a huge part in worshiping the Antichrist, which is basically Satan worship. Which people go, oh, come on, you don't believe in Satan, do you? I said, yeah, I do, actually. But they like, you know, they can accept the Antichrist statement a little better than just Satan. But they are. They will be Satan worshipers. And as far as today goes, if they're not worshiping, here we go, properly, based on Paul's teachings, then they're still worshiping Satan. You know? So, it's interesting stuff. Another part of the deception. So, let's look at worship. Let's show you some things about worship. I know and I'm not trying to jump the gun here, but we know the key verse on worship is in Acts 17. When, you know, Paul is talking, is in the midst of Mars Hill, and he says to these guys, "Ye men of Athens, I perceive that in all things ye are too superstitious. For as I passed by and beheld your devotions," there's that word devotions, and it's not, it doesn't say devotion, it says devotions, Acts 17, verse 23 there. So he's talking about things that, you know, maybe everybody has their devotions in the morning, you know, that kind of stuff. Now, that's tons of that stuff. The daily bread, there's one that's not King James anymore. I found an altar with this inscription, to the unknown God, whom therefore ye ignorantly worship, him declare I unto you. God that made the world, okay, there's creation, and all things therein, seeing that he is Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands. Well, we know that he did it one time. I mean, that wasn't just his dwelling place. He wasn't just there, but when they went into the Holy of Holies, there was he. Neither is worshipped with men's hands, as though he needed anything, seeing he giveth to all life and breath and all things, and hath made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on the face of the earth, and hath determined the times before appointed, and the bounds of their habitation. Boy, there's a lot of meat in that verse. The times before appointed, this is all following a schedule, and the bounds of their habitation. He had every group of people, goes back to Genesis 9 and Genesis 10, Shem, Ham, and Japheth, you know, and you look into that stuff, and they all had their bounds, they had their places to be, that they should seek the Lord if haply, and haply means perchance, you know, like almost accidental, but perchance. If by any chance you guys are looking for God, you know, if perchance you were doing that, that they should seek the Lord if haply they might feel after Him, they're looking for Him, they want Him, and find Him, though He be not far from every one of us. For in Him we live and move and have our being. As certain also of your own poets, even had poetry back in those days, have said, for we are also His offspring. So people just don't realize where God is today as far as being a Christian or not. And then, and again, the deception part of it is found in the Old Testament. And let's look at some verses in the Old Testament, and you will recognize today's worship is still taking place today. And that's my point. And instead of just me being the ever-all-know-it-all and just tell you that, and you go, well, okay, makes sense. No, let's look at the Scriptures and let us see that the Bible is what teaches us this. It makes the sermons go longer, but it takes away my words, and we see the authority of the Scriptures. For example, Genesis 24. And I'll try to slow down a little bit this morning and give us time to look them up. I don't do that very often because I don't see you. I don't know if you even have your Bible to look it up or if you're just listening to my verses when I read them or whatever. I'm going to assume you have your Bible there, and we're going to look at some of these verses here. I can already tell this is going to go into the evening tonight. So, Genesis 24, verse 26. And the man bowed down his head and worshiped the Lord. Well, there's a way of worship. You're bowing your head. Okay? Look at verse 48. Same chapter, 24, verse 48. And I bowed my head and worshiped the Lord. Okay? So there's another definition or description of worship. We have to remember this is Old Testament, though. Verse 52. And it came to pass that when Abraham's servant heard their words, he worshiped the Lord, bowing himself to the earth. Exodus 4:31. Page flip. Where page is going? Why do I feel like this isn't... I hope you're getting this, Mark. I've just got this feeling this isn't working this morning. But Exodus 4, verse 31. And the people believed, and when they heard that the Lord had visited the children of Israel and that He had looked upon their affliction, it's always nice to see God working in your life. See how this looks here? Then they bowed their heads and worshipped. So in other words, there's a lot of bowing heads in this worship. And look at the churches today. Look at the denominational churches, the liturgical churches, the Catholic Church especially. And the Baptist Church as well. There's a lot of bowing their heads. Is that wrong to bow your heads? No, I guess. Is it necessary? Well, we'll have to see here. If you're driving down the highway and you want to pray because you're having a rough day when you get to work, I wouldn't suggest you bow your head. Unless you got a mirror system device up there. Is that necessary, see? But this is truly what they did. Exodus 12:27, and the people bowed the head and worshipped. Exodus 34, flip. There go more pages. Exodus 34, verse 8, and Moses made haste and bowed his head toward the earth. King James Bible is not hard to understand. It says things so well, so descriptive. We just have to not be in a hurry. And bowed his head toward the earth and worshipped. And how else would you bow your head? If you're going to put your head down and bow your head, you're bowing it toward the earth. I just think it's great to see him put that in there, that's all. But I'll see if we go to... let's keep going here. Let's go to Joshua 5:14. I'm going to notice some things here in a second. So hang on. Joshua 5:14. Joshua. Ooh, Joshua. Joshua judges. Oh, okay. Yeah, okay. I know where that's at. And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and did worship and said unto him, what saith my Lord unto his servant? If you ever seen anybody, I remember it in a church. In fact, it was the first time I ever led singing in a church. Rex Harrison was there. Dr. Ruckerman was there. Homer Smith was there. And I was shaking in my dress shoes, you know. I mean, that was a scary time for me. And it was at Rick Sowell's church in Toledo, Ohio. And when we were done, you know how Rex, anybody knows Rex Harrison, he just beat the snot out of you with his sermon, you know. But that was also the night, by the way, that I saw Rex get up there totally unprepared and going through his notes. He said, okay, what do I want to preach tonight? I got 10 sermons here. I remember sitting there thinking, that's weird. So you guys that travel, you just do the same 10 sermons or 5 sermons or 20 sermons? No wonder you sound so good. You know, it's no wonder you know your sermon so well that you really don't even need your note and you can stand and have great eye contact. You've given that sermon a number of times. I've got some sermons I wish I could keep doing for people, different people, you know. And, boy, I tell you, I would get pretty good at it eventually. You all know that I used to do sermons and I used to learn something in the middle of that sermon while I was preaching that sermon. And there was one time, remember, I changed the sermon while I was playing the piano for the hymns. Something was just going on and I just was scratching down some verses and I totally changed the sermon that morning. It's crazy stuff that goes on, and this is what's going on in our churches, you know. Homer Smith, he was a hacker. I think they call him a hacker. Take your Bible and turn to such an... I also got that hacking ah sound at the end, through the whole sermon. And I thought, man, if this guy can do that and put on this show like this, I should be able to lead singing. That shouldn't be that hard. That was quite the experience. I've been through a lot of those kind of learning the hard way, shaking in my dress shoes type of learnings here. But anyway, what we're seeing, all this stuff that's going on in our churches, Baptist churches too, this is just a form of Old Testament worship. Fell on his face to the earth and did worship. Get me back on the trail. When this service was done, when that conference was done, the last night, there was one guy that laid at the altar during invitation, and he laid down, and he just what says here, he fell on his face to the earth, and to the floor in this case, and did worship. And he didn't leave for hours. Rick finally had to just lock the door and leave and tell the guy, when you leave, be sure you shut the door. And is that necessary? Well, we'll see. It was done in the Old Testament. Here we go. Let's get back on trail here. 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 3. Get past Judges. 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 3. And this man went up out of his city yearly to worship and to sacrifice unto the Lord of hosts in Shiloh. And the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, the priests of the Lord, were there. Verse 19 of the same chapter says, they rose up in the morning early and worshiped before the Lord. Let's see, when you get up early to worship the Lord, that makes me think of these sunrise services during Easter. And boy, as a kid, did I ever hate those. I mean, church was bad enough. You can't move, you can't turn around. They do this Latin whatever, I don't know what we're saying. And the pastor sings horribly anyway, and I can't look at the choir. But man, to get up at 5 o'clock, you know, and go down to the lake, Stony Run, and have a worship service on a hill in the wind, usually not sunshiny yet, freezing to death. And this, before they get this, and they rose up in the morning early and worship before the Lord. Here's another one. Let's go down to 2 Samuel chapter 12. Let me check to see who's still here this morning. It starts to become curious to me here. Not that you're there, but your name's up there anyway. 2 Samuel chapter 12, verse 20. Then David arose from the earth and washed and anointed himself and changed his apparel and came into the house of the Lord and worshipped. There you go. I mean, you know, I know for a lot of people, especially ladies, but for a lot of people, church is just a place to go to wear your new clothes, dress up and, you know, feel good and all this kind of stuff. And I understand that. I'm not knocking it to a point because, first of all, David did it. And second of all, there's nothing going on in your church enough that all you want to do is dress up. I mean, that explains what's going on in churches. And yet, now today, you don't even have to change your clothes. Ooh, how radical. Well, you get into Paul. No, you really don't. You know, I've had people be critical of me because I was wearing a sweatshirt or something because it was cold and middle of winter and all that kind of stuff, and the video would show I'm wearing a sweatshirt. Right now I've got a casual shirt on because I had to go buy a large, extra large, 2XL, but that's just because it's a summer shirt. And very, very comfortable, you know. Well, that offends a lot of church-going type people. And my question would be, what are you wearing this morning? Do you still have your jammies on? Do you have your shorts and are you sitting outside sunning yourself in the backyard, the privacy of a 6-foot fence backyard, you know? You got a speaker system out in your backyard and you're pumping me through the backyard with some of the neighbors listening to? Or you got this little thing set up? Are you fixing dinner, washing clothes maybe? Maybe just chunking down a couple of brownies and a cup of dark chocolate. Coffee, the little Betsy's Best milk import in that thing. You know, what's going on? So, you know, people are critical. Well, we have Starbucks, or not Starbucks, but coffee shops in churches. Well, is that sacrilegious? Or is it a ploy to have favor with all the people? Is it wrong? Well, think about this. You know, everybody changes their apparel to come to church, and they have some foods and things there. Well, we have a coffee shop in the lobby. Well, how could you have a coffee shop in the lobby? That's so wrong. We have ours in the kitchen, and that's so right. You know, what's the difference? Or we have lunch between services. We have little treats before services. People get so critical. And my point here is this has already been done in the Old Testament. David, before he went to worship the Lord, he changed his apparel, and he washed and anointed himself even. Wow, that's really getting into it. Okay, here's another one here. We go way down to 2 Kings chapter 17. We'll get into some interesting stuff here in a minute. Sorry. 2 Kings 17, which by the way is right after 1 Kings. Okay. And they left all the commandments of the Lord their God and made them molten images, even two calves, and made a grove. And worship all the hosts of heaven and served Baal. Oh. Now, was that a coffee? Is that a Danish or something? How do you serve a Baal? No, it doesn't say a Baal is served Baal. That's who was getting the worship there. Okay, here's another one. 2 Kings 18, verse 22. Ye shall work, 2 Kings chapter 18, verse 22. The notes will be online. I'm doing okay with the notes. They're not up to snuff the next day, but I'm getting them up there eventually here. 2 Kings 18, 22. Ye shall worship before this altar in Jerusalem. So there's the altar that comes into play. Well, how many churches have their altars? And Baptists say, we don't have one. Yes, you have an altar. Matter of fact, you priests have an altar in your home. Let's build a little Old Testament altar and temple within our homes. I mean, we have all of our chairs and couches and things, you know, facing the TV. There's your altar. There's where you worship. And there's who you worship would be Baal, you know. But if you want to have an altar, it's probably off in the corner somewhere, kind of dusty, you know, and you got your Bible sitting there. I suppose some liturgical people would have some candles there, you know, maybe some specially important cloths. Maybe some of the gang, well, we know that they've got their statues of Mary out in the yard. Let's see if you're still there. What did they call those statues in Ohio? If you're still there. The girls would say worship something. Mary in a bathtub. Yeah, I remember way back in the Rex Harrison, early Ruckman days, people down south, they preach about this and laugh about it all the time, which I don't agree with at this point now. I laughed at it then. They'd go and they'd take those things, they'd tie ropes to them, and they'd drive them up and down the streets. Well, what is that going to do for your testimony, for your church, and all this kind of stuff? The radical, offensive thing, you know. But yeah, they're all over, and people have them in their homes. They got their altars in their home, but it's an Old Testament concept. It's an Old Testament altar that we're doing. We don't need to do that. We'll get to the Paul stuff eventually here. Well, let's get a couple interesting things here. Let's go to 1 Chronicles chapter 16. 1 Chronicles 16:29, King James Bible, of course. Given to the Lord the glory due unto His name. Oh, that's fine. Bring an offering. There you come. There's your church set up. And come before Him. Worship the Lord in the beauty of His holiness. So let's make sure you give a lot of money so this church, this worship center, this prayer house, house of prayer, house of worship, let's make sure this thing is as beautiful as we can make it so we can worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. And what we're seeing here this morning, we're just going through worship and we're seeing that the worship that is taking place today is Old Testament worship, and it's setting people up to worship the Antichrist. And how is it that we are truly supposed to worship when we talk about Paul? Well, we'll get to that eventually. I'm just showing, I did a little sermon there for our visitor, Marianne or whatever. So let's get back to our level of understanding here. 1 Chronicles, see what I do when you get a visitor? I run them off. 1 Chronicles 29, verse 20. And David said to all the congregation, now bless the Lord your God, and all the congregation bless the Lord. Well, my coffee's not working on me. Bless the Lord God of their fathers, and bowed their heads, and worshiped the Lord and the King. Second Chronicles, chapter 7, verse 3. And when all the children of Israel saw how the fire came down and the glory of the Lord upon the house, you never see that in these churches, although the Pentecostal people say they do. Speaking of Pentecostal people, there was a guy on the tube at a religious channel called a camp meeting thing. I was there for about a minute, and he said, do you know that your pain is because you're doing some things wrong in your life? Your physical bodily pain is because you're doing some things in your life that are wrong. And I thought, what a dumb thing to tell people. But here's thousands of people listening to this guy, giving this guy thousands of dollars, and we're struggling and having a home church, and we can't even get together. We're scattered all over anymore, and we don't teach stuff like that. The Bible doesn't say that. Oh, people are so prepping for this Antichrist, you know. Okay, 2 Chronicles 7:3, and the glory of the Lord upon the house. They bowed themselves with their faces to the ground upon the pavement and worshiped and praised the Lord. Now, you know, you can understand their thinking. I mean, this is God, and they saw God do some things, and so because they recognize they're just this lowly human being, and they're going to stand before God, boosh, down you go, their faces to the ground, upon the pavement even. I understand that. I'm not knocking that. It's just that this is Old Testament. Christ hadn't paid for anything. These guys had to sacrifice. They had to worship this way. And today, how do people look at, you know, the Lord? He's my buddy. Oh, yeah, how you doing, Jesus, buddy? You know, bro. It's just, you and I are just like on the same par, you know. That's what's going on today. And so the Antichrist will support all that stuff. We know that. Daniel 11 talks about that. Anyway, let's get back to our main point here. Again, it says in 2 Chronicles 20, Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground, and all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem fell before the Lord, worshiping the Lord. Well, that makes me think of these Muslims. I mean, it's at a certain time of day, 12 o'clock or 2 o'clock or 1:47, I don't know. They all face the same direction, and they all bow down. There they go. Down they go, and they don't move unless somebody walks into the gun and starts shooting them. I don't know why would they think that their God, Allah, would allow that? You know, why would their God allow a guy to go in there? Well, why does our God allow a guy to go into our churches and shoot people? Well, our God allows us to have our own guns to shoot back. You know, there's the freedom of the spirit of liberty. There's a liberty there. And we understand that our God has given us some wisdom in the Bible, and part of that wisdom is, listen, if you're living in a neighborhood where that kind of stuff goes on, and you got a place you do go to and worship, I'm sorry, oh, see, I slipped right there. But in North Dakota, it's actually illegal to have a gun in your church. Boy, it's a good thing we don't have a church going on here. Now, Washington, what did we have? I had my 357 on top. I had my Derringer, double-barrel Derringer on top of my pulpit. I had my Derringer in my pocket. I had my 357 on the top of the pulpit. And I had my 22 Magnum below the pulpit. And patience, you had my 44 Magnum up there in the back so you can shoot the guy from the top if anybody came in. And Mike was carrying, and Louie was carrying. And of course, Brenda was carrying. And I was just hoping somebody would come in and try to do something so we could all just blast away. But you can't do that today. Do y'all remember one day that everybody was sitting on the other side of the... Mike and those guys moved over to the other side of the church. And I noticed that one morning. They said, because if somebody comes in... And we had stirred up enough trouble at the local liberal college that we wouldn't have been surprised if somebody would have come in. You know, we know that. But they moved over to the side because they said, if somebody comes in and starts shooting and you shoot back, you're going to kill all of us before you hit him. So they just had no confidence in my shooting ability. My skill, my aim, you know. Oh, well, here we go. Let's get back on the trail here. See, when you get old, you come up with, you just got to tell stories because you want people to think you've been there, done that kind of stuff, I guess. I don't know. As if you're interested in my stories anyway. 2 Chronicles 29, verse 28. This is interesting. You might want to turn to this. 2 Chronicles 29, verse 28, which is right after 1 Chronicles and before 3 Chronicles. And all the congregation worshipped. And the singers sang, and the trumpeters sounded. And all this continued until the burnt offering was finished. See, that's church. That's what goes on in our churches today. Is it wrong? Well, we'll get to it. All the congregation worshiped, the singers sang, and the trumpeters trumpeted. Should be trumpeted there, but it says sounded. Har har. And this continued until the burnt offering was finished. This is where we get our church design. And the Baptist design is, well, we sing two hymns at the beginning, maybe three, a couple of verses. We don't do all the verses, of course. We always at least did all the verses. And then you got to pray, and then you give announcements, and then you do the offering. Then you have a special talented person come in and sing, and the pastor sits there going, oh, that's a terrible song. Why did I let her do that? Because you haven't got the guts to tell them they can't sing. And before you know it, they like the singer, and they don't like you because you don't like the singer, and the sermons are shorter because everybody likes the music, and before you know it, you're not even preaching anything. You're just kind of the follow-up to the main act of the music, and then you go home. You pray, and you go home. You have one of the men pray in the church. So it's a little power thing there because these men are sitting back there at the end of the sermon. Oh, I hope he doesn't call on me to pray. I don't want to pray. I really don't want to pray. Marty, would you pray? Oh, gee, okay. Yeah, oh God, thank you for this sermon. Thank you for a pastor, wonderful man that he is, and offerings, and blah, 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 blah. Bless us on the way home, and then somebody get killed on the way home, you know? It's just so baloney. It's just worship. It's false worship today, but it was proper worship in the Old Testament days. Nehemiah, let's go to Nehemiah. No, we're not done yet. We go to 2 Chronicles 29. 2 Chronicles 29. And they sang praises with gladness. Well, that's nice. And they bowed their heads and worshipped. You notice the separation there? And they sang praises with gladness. And they bowed their heads and worshipped. I'll show you in a minute what I'm getting at here. What time we got here? I better hurry it up here. And Nehemiah chapter 8. Nehemiah chapter 8 verse 6. And Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God, and all the people answered, Amen, Amen. Or as my home church would say, Amen, Amen. With lifting up their hands, and they bowed their heads and worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground. You know what that reminds? I just looking at this, that reminds me of Chick Comics. As much as Chick Comics, I didn't realize until later that they're just nothing but Pentecostal stuff. And when he backed down on the King James issue and quit selling that one tract and all this kind of stuff, but the way he drew those pictures of those people were so awful and so wicked and so immodest. And yet, when you walk around today, you go to the school, it reminds me of how this guy would draw the people. This is what we're living in. It looks like Chick Comics out there. Anyway, they sang praise. We're looking at Nehemiah chapter, Amen, Amen. With lifting their hands, they bowed their heads and worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground. Not toward the ground, but to the ground. Good old Job. Job arose, rent his mantle, shaved his head, and fell down upon the ground and worshiped. Oh, I got a lot left here. I'm sorry. I got to speed this thing up here a little bit here. Psalms are full of worship the Lord and the beauty of His holiness. A lot of verses that talk about that. Let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. Worship at His footstool. Worship at His holy hill. Worship at His footstool. Their land, this is in Isaiah, their land also was full of idols. They worshiped the work of their hands. See, people would say, well, yeah, that's statues. I understand that. Well, it says, they will worship the work of their hands, that which their own fingers have made. Well, sure, that's carving and creating statues, but that is also music. That is also, you work with your hands, your fingers make music, you play guitars, or you play instruments, or you play piano, or whatever. And so, that is still applicable. And Is it Amos? Amos? Boy, I forgot. I thought I'd never forget this verse. No, it is. It's Amos chapter 6. We got to see where this music, playing musical instruments, is included in worship. And these are included when it says they made them with their hands, that which their own fingers have made. And so they worship the work of their own hands. You go into these churches, and their orchestras, their instruments, their musical area, they create this, the altars, the statue, the whole spiel, all of this stuff, all ties in together. If you go to Amos chapter 6, we see where it says, verse 1 here, woe to them that are at ease in Zion, that's God's people, of course, verse 4, that lie upon beds of ivory, there's your, and stretch themselves upon their couches, there's your couch potato, and eat the lambs out of the flock and the calves out of the midst of the stall, that chant to the sound of the vials, and invent to themselves instruments of music, M-U-S-I-C-K, I hope your Bible spells, like David. Well, see, what we're seeing here is these guys that have to be woe because they're doing so many wrong things here, they're inventing to themselves instruments like David. These are the instruments that David played and built, harps and things like that, tabrets and stuff. And so they're doing, you know, worship music, but it's wrong. God doesn't want to hear that chant to the sound of the vial and invent to themselves instruments of music. They play what they like. They have the instruments they like. And the reason I make such a big emphasis about this is because in an NIV Bible and the New Bibles, they add the word did after David. Like David did. No, David didn't invent music, didn't invent to himself musical instruments. We go to 1 Chronicles chapter 23. You probably all know this because we've been over this before. 1 Chronicles chapter 23 says right there in verse 5, 1 Chronicles, I'm in 2nd. Let's go to 1 Chronicles chapter 23, verse 5. Moreover, 4,000 were porters and 4,000 praised the Lord with instruments which I made, said David, to praise therewith. David did not make his instruments for himself. These people took the music and these instruments and did it for themselves. And God didn't want that. He says in Amos chapter 5, verse 21, I despise your feast days. I will not smell in your solemn assemblies. Take thou away from me the noise of thy songs, for I will not hear the melody of thy vials. So yes, false worship involves false music. The wrong purpose of music in the churches is for themselves. We want to get people to come to church, so let's bring in this modern music. Let's bring in the Sheriff family. Let's bring in the Rochesters and the Amos and Andes. Let's bring all those people in here, and we'll sing away and have a great time. And that is worshiping the work of their own hands. They created this whole building. They created this situation. And we see that Paul says in Acts 17 to the people on Mars that we don't do that. But this is what they're doing. We're looking at Old Testament worship. Okay, let's keep going here. I'm just kind of dragging. I assume you're back, okay. Jeremiah 44, verse 15. Now we're getting into the stuff where these people are doing worship wrong. Yea, then shall it be for a man to burn, for he will take thereof and warm himself. Yea, he kindleth it and baketh bread. Yea, he maketh a god and worshipeth it. He's making this with fire. And the residue thereof he maketh a god, even his graven image. So there he's building a little image out of that fire. And this is an interesting verse on worship because it's in Isaiah 66. And I think we know that each book in the, there's 66 chapters in Isaiah, and each one of those chapters parallels what's in each one of those books per number. Number one would be Genesis, Isaiah 66 would be Revelation. And then it says here, and it shall come to pass that from one moon to another, and from one Sabbath to another, shall all flesh come to worship before me, saith the Lord. And it's interesting, shall all flesh, you know. Okay, let's keep looking up here. Let's go here to Jeremiah 13, verse 10. Jeremiah 13, 10. Boy, this is so what's going on today as well. We're getting so close. This evil people, which refuse to hear my words, remember, Jeremiah has pretty much the same message we've got, in a way, because Jeremiah, all by his little lonesome, was going around and telling God's people that you are refusing, you're rejecting his words. And that's the message we have today. The Gentiles now are rejecting God's words. And eventually, God will reject them. Anyway, it says, this evil people, which refuse to hear my words, which walk in the imagination of their heart, and walk after other gods to serve them and to worship them. And there he's talking about Jeremiah's girdle object lesson, which is good for nothing. So that would be a good title. Today's religion, good for nothing. Anyway. Okay, quickly, Jeremiah 26:2. They come to worship in the Lord's house. Jeremiah 44:19. And we burned incense to the Queen of Heaven and poured out drink offerings unto her. Did we make her cakes to worship her and pour out drink offerings unto her without our men? with their backs toward the temple of the Lord and their faces toward the east. They worship the sun toward the sea. I don't know if they still do it, but we do. I think we remember for the years they've always buried people in cemeteries with their face facing east, because they always said that's where the Lord's going to come back. I've heard that a bunch of times. Here's one, Ezekiel 46. And the prince shall enter by way of the porch of that gate without, and shall stand by the post of the gate, and the priest shall prepare his burnt offering and his peace offerings, and he shall worship at the threshold of the gate. So here's this guy, this priest is taking care of this guy's sins, so he goes to church there to worship. It's amazing stuff. Now here we go in Daniel chapter 3. We're just about done here. Daniel chapter 3, that at what time you hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, dulcimer, and, underline this, all kinds of music, you fall down to worship the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king has set up. It isn't just rock music. It isn't just jazz. It isn't just, you know, it can be classical if it takes you away from the Lord, if it takes you away from your Bible. If you start worshiping the music that you play, if you start playing this music to help your kids go to sleep at night, they're going to grow up having to have music, and before you know it, music will become their God. And music will become their power. They can't sleep without hearing music. They can't relax without hearing music. That music, as good as it is, you could come home from a terrible day, so you turn on your music. No, you really should turn on your Bible. You know? But we turn on our music, and really, music has become a power that we cannot control, and that will burn, even if it's good music. Nebuchadnezzar says, all kinds of music, good or bad, you shall fall down and worship the golden image. Same thing in verse 7, same thing in verse 15, if I remember correctly. Verse 10. He says in verse 11, whoso falleth not down and worshipeth, that he should be cast in the midst of a burning fiery furnace. If I got the story right, isn't that where when the guards were thrown in, so was their family? Well, there's a sermon in that thing too. Yeah, there it is, verse 15. And then lastly, in Micah chapter 5, verse 13, thy graven images also will I cut off, and thy standing images out of the midst of thee, and thou shalt no more worship the work of thine hands. And that's the thing that Paul tells people. Listen, we don't... Who do you think you are that you could do anything to worship God physically like that? So worship in the Old Testament was a legitimate physical activity according to the way God told them to worship Him. Okay? So what do we got out of Jesus now for worship? And then what does Paul say about worship? And then what kind of worship are we heading towards with the tribulation just around the corner? There's a worship that's preparing people for the tribulation, for the worshiping of the Antichrist. And we will deal with that this evening. I thought I would get more done, but I had too many stories, I suppose.